Now live from Dick's Wings on the North Side, Compton and Company, brought to you by United Rentals on 1010XL. Here's your host, Ron Compton.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Dick's Wings on the North Side here at Yellow Bluff and New Berlin Roads. Come by and hang out with us. We'll be talking sports with you for 2 hours. RJ Saunders producing, yours truly, Ron Compton here. Chuck Elliott may call in at some point. He's vacationing somewhere. Brent Beard will chime in the top of the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll do all things college sports then. A lot to unwrap and to get into. First and foremost, thanks to the folks right here at Dick's Wings for hosting us. They do a great job each and every Saturday here at on the North Side, and also visit us in Lakewood at San Jose and University Boulevard. I want to wish a happy Father's Day, a day early for all the dads out there, all the dads. And, in fact, my son might come down and do a segment today with me for, you know, Father's Day weekend. Look, my kids have given me a lot of wonderful Father's Day memories, and if he comes down and does a segment with me, that'll be just one more. I mean, look, last year, my older son, he's hit 2 home runs in his entire life out of the park. One of which was on his 17th birthday. It's kind of cool. And last year had a baseball tournament, hit a 2-run walk-off in the bottom of the 7th inning, and went and found the ball and signed it for his dad, and that happened on Father's Day, and which is really, really cool. And another early Father's Day present for me, my younger son. You know, next weekend I'll be in Palm Coast, RJ Saunders, coaching in our Little League sectional tournament as me and my younger son, and then me and my older son coach together, coach San Mateo Little League, and we won our district championship this week. So we'll be on the Palm Coast next weekend. So the boys delivered a nice early Father's Day present to us, San Mateo 16U dad. So that's those things going on for me, right? So another little Guns and Hoses tonight, which a unique deal, whereas typically it's Jacksonville firefighters against police officers. This year it's New York City against Jacksonville, which would be an awful lot of fun. The U.S. Open, we'll give a leaderboard update here in a bit. A couple of interesting pairings. And I think, yeah, top half of the top of the leaderboard. I want to say there's only, I think, 12 players under par, I believe, at least going into round 3. The NBA had a couple, had a closeout game last night. Boy, oh boy, how about the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard take down the Utah Jazz after falling behind, I think, by 25 points. Former Florida State player. And look, Terrence Mann wasn't a star at FSU. Wasn't a star. He was a nice player, obviously. He was drafted, I think, 47th or 48th overall. So nice player. Kawhi goes out. He steps in last night. I think he went for, I think, 39? Yeah, 39 points last night to help lead the Clippers past the Utah Jazz to go into the Western Conference Finals against the Phoenix Suns. And then my club last night, the Atlanta Hawks. Oof.
Close, but no Oof. Cigar.
Yeah. Oh, RJ Saunders. Let me tell you, I was as into that game as much as I mean, look, as a young kid, I've been a Hawks fan since like the late 70s. I mean, I was eight or nine years old, started pulling for the Hawks. And I really don't know why, because I actually pulled for the Hawks pre-Dominique days. You know, I love me some Dominique Wilkins, but I was as into that game as I was. No, the game wasn't as exciting because the 88 Game 7 Eastern Conference semifinals, the Bird-Dominique game where everyone else just sort of stood by and watched as those two superstars, Hall of Famers, went after it. Now, ultimately, the game was won by the Boston Celtics. But yeah, I mean, Atlanta won the, game five and went up 3-2, and Boston won the last two, including that game seven at the Garden. And then, you know what? Now we have back-to-back game sevens. I mean, is there a better two better words in all of sports than, game seven, right? Game seven. Whether it's baseball, basketball, hockey, game seven, they're always a lot of fun. So Bucks and the Nets tonight at 8:30. And then tomorrow you'll have the Hawks and the 76ers, I think, at 8 o'clock tomorrow night in their game seven. So I want to go and throw a couple of poll questions out. I got three. And then a Twitter question as well. RJ, I want to get you to throw out there as well, also for our listeners. And you can check. You can also text us at 641-1010 or call us, obviously, 641-1010 as well. Preseason college football preseason magazine, or preseason magazines in general, pro or college football. Look, they used to, especially the college ones, were so huge back in the day. I mean, they were big. I mean, it was. Look, for Brent Beard, who's going to chime in at 1 o'clock, it was like Christmas. It was Christmas morning or Christmas afternoon, in May or June for him. They were that big of a deal for guys like that. Look, I used to get them all as well. I'd get Lindy's, Athlon, Sporting News. I'd get Phil Steele. I'd get them all. I'd get all the preseason magazines, and I didn't read all the articles, but I'd get them because that's just, to me, was the thing to do, and I would, delve in and read a few articles here or there. But obviously now the internet and news being instantaneous, not as many people are buying the preseason magazines. So here are what I'll ask. So here are your options. Preseason magazines, yep, still get them all. Or no, I might get one. Or no, I don't get any. Preseason magazines, thing of the past. And the other option is what in the hell is a preseason magazine? So either, yeah, I still get them all. Yeah, I may get one to read. No, don't get them, thing of the past. What is a preseason magazine? Those are your options. Also, this whole stuff of the last couple of weeks, the stuff out of Green Bay, Coach LaFleur now this week, and hey, get ready, Jordan Love. Obviously, to prepare as the starting quarterback, but that's coach speak. He tells them all that, right? Your first, second, third stringer, look, especially first and second stringer, you need two because if you're back up, you're one play from being in the football game. Well, he's been told, hey, you're one play away. But, CEO last week, made comments saying that Aaron Rodgers was sort of a difficult fella, I think is what he called him. I think that was the phrase. But anyway, I'm beginning to wonder now if will Aaron Rodgers play football this season for the Green Bay Packers, or will he play at all? I mean, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, and a lot of the comments being made by the front office doesn't appear they're trying to mend fences at all, based on those comments by Mark Murphy that he's a difficult fellow, things of that nature. But here's the deal, man. If he doesn't play at all, I think the Green Bay Packers will save, $35 million. A ton of cap room. You can roll that over in the next season. And look, his trade value will be, it's strong this upcoming offseason as it is right now. The only thing you could gain now is maybe a player or two plus picks in exchange for Aaron Rodgers. If you wait to the offseason, you get a ton of picks. And you know what? There may be even more teams. Like right now, there's only a couple of teams that have been linked to Aaron Rodgers. Next offseason, you may have a couple of other teams that, we thought we might have had our guy. Now we know we don't. And there may be more teams in Aaron Rodgers' derby, pre-draft. So to me, it's and plus, if you're the Packers, look, if he doesn't report, then And, you know, Jordan Love plays, then you'll know, well, do we have our guy? Oh, man, you know what? He's not the guy. So now we need to explore other options as well. So my question is, do you think Aaron Rodgers will be in the Green Bay Packers week one starting quarterback? And then the other is, do you think Deshaun Watson will be quarterbacking anywhere week one in the 2021 National Football League campaign? So those are the questions. And then also, other than Trevor Lawrence, give me your favorite Jaguars draft pick, the guy that you're looking forward to seeing the most. And then also, your favorite free agent signing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So those are the two questions I'll ask. Is your draft, other than Trevor Lawrence, the one guy that, man, I'm glad we got that guy, and you're excited to see. And then also, whether it's for all the free agents, there's Philip Dorsett, Damian Wilson, Rashawn Jenkins. I mean, and Malcolm Brown's my guy. I mean, a lot of people say Shaq Griffin because, you know, a high-priced cornerback and obviously a position of need. But I'm really excited about Malcolm Brown. He comes in, it's really clogged that middle of the defensive line. So that's my guy. And I mentioned preseason magazines. I've got a preseason magazine. I got one this year, so I'm beat. I used to get them all. Now I get maybe one. And really, it's more of a depth charts and things like that. And I'll find one that I see has a couple of interesting articles that's in it. There's a nice one this year's Athlon Sports magazine about Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Dan Mullen. So nice magazine. So I went through a lot of them, and that's the one that I picked out. So I'm option B. I'll get one. So we'll touch on all of that. We'll step aside for a break. We may, again, bring in Chuck Elliott at some point. I'll ask R.J. Saunders when we come back. He's a big NBA guy. His thoughts on the NBA playoffs thus far. We'll do that and a lot more as we broadcast to you from Dick's Wings on the north side of 1010 XL.
We're not in a position where we're saying, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're letting them all roll. Everybody's getting reps. We want this thing to be really competitive. Ultimately, when we name a starter, we'll name a starter. And Urban will do that when he's ready. But I've just enjoyed watching these guys compete.
This is Compton & Company on 1010XL.
I mean, when I heard this comment as I was driving down the road, I'm glad I wasn't parked somewhere. I was taking something to drink as I was, like, typing on my laptop or something because I would have spit my drink all over my laptop. And that's one of those comical things I've ever heard. And we're going to, you know, I love to see him compete. And when Urban wants to announce a starting quarterback, he'll do that. Really? So we don't know?
We just want to keep it a little, a little bit interesting. We want to keep it interesting.
Yeah, we don't know, RJ. We don't know who's going to be taking the first snap from center.
I know we drafted this guy number one, but, yeah. You know, we don't know yet. We're not going to make an announcement.
Hey, maybe, and I got a buddy of mine here, and I hope he can hear this right now. He's got his lovely family with him, my buddy Jimmy. He was so mad at the sign. Look, he's a big Gator. He's a big Gator. But he hates the signing of Tim Tebow because don't give him snaps. Because if Tebow makes the team, he will be in that wildcat. You know, he'll do some of that stuff. They will try to do things with him that they did back when he was a freshman at Florida. And he told me week one, he's in attendance the first time that Tim Tebow takes a direct snap and runs into the back of the guard and falls down for a loss of 1 yard. He's going to start booing. That's what he said. So I'm hoping, maybe week one, they trot number 85 out there and he takes a direct snap first play of the game. That's not going to happen, obviously, but I hope my buddy can hear me across the restaurant when I just said that. But look, yeah, come on. Wait, look. We know who our guy is. It's just funny. I mean, it makes you wonder if he was bunkered down with the coaches and said, you know what? I know the question's going to be asked, but wait till they hear this answer that we haven't decided yet. And we'll let Urban make that announcement when he decides he wants to go in that direction. But look, in all seriousness, though, man, I talked to a buddy of mine this morning that we had a little draft party here at Dick's Wings. And the minute the Jaguars announced that Trevor Lawrence was their pick, my friend's son quickly got on NFLShop.com and ordered him a Trevor Lawrence jersey where he's wearing it this morning. So, I don't know the last time there's been this much excitement around this Jacksonville Jaguars organization. I mean, they've got their guy, their franchise, injury aside. I mean, he's going to be your quarterback in Jacksonville for 15 years, 12 to 15 years. I mean, think about that. Like, I'm not saying he's Tom Brady and he's going to go until he's 45, which Brady will be 44 when this season begins, and obviously he's got two more years left. He'll be 45 years old, and we'll see what happens beyond that. But this is a dude that is going to be, I mean, he's going to have multiple Pro Bowls, all pro, in my opinion. They call him a generational type of quarterback. Obviously, Elway, Luck, and Manning, were the others. And here, you've got Trevor Lawrence. I mean, my goodness. And he's all ours. He's all our Jaguar fans. He is. I've got my Jaguar shirt one day just for that. So you've got your guy. You go out and he's got weapons. I look for, a lot of people think Laviska Shenault will have a breakout season. He had 58 catches last year. Now obviously DJ Chark's been called out by Urban Meyer. You played small last year. You go out and you get a tried and true veteran receiver, Marvin Jones Jr., Nate Burleson was on, I think last week and said, look, Marvin Jones Jr. can catch 1,000. He'll wake up and catch have 1,000 receiving yards. If that's the case, now all of a sudden your wide receiver is pretty good. Your entire offensive line is back, a year older and intact. You bring Walker Little in to battle at that tackle position. Offensively, I really expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to be pretty darn good. I'm not going to say very good. I'm not going to say great. I'm not going to make any of these proclamations. But I think it's going to be a good offense. And obviously, you bring Travis Etienne as well to compliment James Robinson in the backfield. And they'll line him up all over the place in the slot, out wide in the backfield. But then with Trevor Lawrence, it all goes back to the quarterback. RJ, you've got a guy that is both extremely mobile and accurate and has all the leadership intangibles as well. I mean, think about the fact you've got a true freshman quarterback at Clemson. He rolls in, these long flowy locks, and 18 years old, and you had a quarterback, Kelly Bryant, that was there that had just taken the Clemson Tigers to the college football playoff. He's your returning starting quarterback, but yet Dabo says, no, here's our new starting quarterback. And all the players are cool with it. That tells you he's got that it factor off the field, whereas all those guys gravitate towards him, and he has a presence about him in that locker room, and they all jumped aboard, and they went after it. There was no mutiny at all. Hey, but what are you doing, coach? Hey, but this young 18-year-old kid, we've got our guy. No, none of that. They were cool with the coach's decision, and obviously they reaped the benefit from it as well in winning a national championship.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, when you look at Trevor and you also look at Urban, I mean, these are two winners. you know, like that we also, I don't know if we talk about enough. These guys have won everywhere that they've gone.
Not many losses between them.
Not many losses between them. You know, they've won everywhere that they've gone. They have, you know, the stance of, hey, we're winners. We win. That we don't take losses very well. And I think that's going to be something that the Jaguars, especially the organization as a whole, I really feel like you're going to need, because you're going to have a guy in Urban Meyer. I understand I'm from California, but everything that I've heard about Urban Meyer, he does not take losses well. And, you know, he stays up, he eats, sleeps, and breathes football, and is going to want to get this team to be better. He's not here to be average. I'm pretty sure that's going to be the same thing for Trevor Lawrence, even though he's saying, you know, I don't have this chip on my shoulder. I'm pretty sure he's saying, if I'm out there on the field, I want to win. And I think that the veterans are going to be able to see that, and I think they're going to respect it, and I think they're going to be able to play for this guy. Interesting thing, though, when it comes to the debate of Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, Austin Gale this week, I don't know if you saw the tweet, makes the proclamation that Zach Wilson has a better supporting cast than Trevor Lawrence and should put up better numbers than Trevor Lawrence in year one. We're talking about the offense of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have a sneaky good offense. I don't know why everybody's trying to look over it or say they're not going to be great this year. They'll be great in 2022. I'll give you that, but I don't think this is, you know, a offense that's going to be, you know, we don't know what to do. I really feel like this team's going to work hard. We're going to see a lot of big plays.
Well, this is what I'll say to that. Look, this is, I don't know that I would go that far, but what I will say, look, they've got Jamison Crowder, right? Nice wide receiver. Elijah Moore, the kid they drafted. A lot of people thought that the Jaguars may draft him in the first pick in round two, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss, as a gadget type of a player. Corey Davis, they signed as a free agent from the Tennessee Titans. Okay, so you know what? I would still say R.J. Saunders, you know, advantage Jaguars. Okay, I would. You know what? Because I look at D.J. Chark is a pro. He was his 2 seasons ago, he was a Pro Bowl caliber. Did he make the Pro Bowl 2 years ago? Right? Didn't
he? Yeah,
right?
He did.
So he was a Pro Bowl wide receiver, right? Then you look at last year. Okay, Laviska Shenault, who, I don't know, I mean, you look at the issues they had in that quarterback position. Look, you had bad quarterback play. You did. You had bad quarterback play. All right, you had bad quarterback play. Let's not sugarcoat it at all. It was no good. The only guy that was a capable NFL starting quarterback on that roster was Gardner Minshew, and they weren't allowed to play him. Right? They were saying, you can't play him. You can't play him because we might mess up and win a game if you play him. That was it, right? That was it. That was the whole deal. Gardner Minshew by the previous staff they stuck it to him. We talk about it coming from the top, that the coaching staff said, look, we can't play you, whatever. But they had the play was terrible, absolutely terrible. And I mean, look, what I don't understand. So you're telling me the Jets, you'd rather have Tevin Coleman and Ty Johnson and Michael Pirine, and God bless Michael Pirine, a former Gator, over rookie sensation James Robinson and Travis Etienne, and you know Carlos Hyde may sneak in and get a few carries as well. Are you kidding me? I mean, look, give me the Jaguars receivers and running backs over the Jets. And again, we're talking about the two worst rosters, the two worst teams in the National Football League last year. But based on what they have around them, give me the Jaguars running backs and receivers over the Jets, and by the way, they've got the much better quarterback. Okay, yes, the much better quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is NFL ready. He's going to be a superstar in this league. Zach Wilson may or not be in the league in 5 years. See, Zach Wilson may be great, but he may be a bust. You know, because look, every year these drafted quarterbacks, typically if you go over the last 10 years and you look at all the first round quarterbacks, half are good, half are bust. Right? They are. Trevor Lawrence, we know he's not going to be in that bust category, but Zach Wilson may. Hell, Zach Wilson was battling for his college football team starting quarterback position prior to last season. He wasn't even the entrenched starting quarterback. Hell, Trevor Lawrence has been anointed the next great one as a ninth grader in high school. I mean, come on, really? So you take Trevor, and I know he's talking about the guy was talking about supporting cast, but the quarterback also plays a part in how good the supporting cast is.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
That's the thing, RJ. This is what this guy is talking about. That's like, it's almost like when you see game capsules and they start talking about, you know, quarterback versus quarterback, running backs versus running backs, receivers versus receivers. No, that's not how it's played. It's offense versus defense, right? Matchups are your offense against their defense, your passing game against their defensive backfield, right? Your running game against their front seven. That's the true matchups, not your running backs against their running backs. So there's my comparison. It's hard. You say, well, their skill position players are better. Okay, well, my quarterback is going to make my skill position players a lot better than theirs if I were even. So I find some of those things rather comical, R.J. Saunders. I do. Okay, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I'll give you a U.S. Open leaderboard update. We'll get R.J. Saunders' opinion next about the NBA playoffs and his thoughts and how he thinks things will play out and who he's pulling for, because he has no dog in the fight right now. Is that correct, R.J.?
I have no dog in the fight.
Okay, so I want to find out who you're pulling for. We may take a look at our poll question as well and see where those stand thus far. Here again, they are these College Preseason Magazine. Choices are, I get them all, I get one, they're a thing of the past, or when the hell is a preseason magazine? And then also, both quarterback-related questions. Aaron Rodgers, will he be will he be under center for the Green Bay Packers week one? Or answer yes or no. And the same thing with Deshaun Watson. Will he be taking snaps for anybody week one of the NFL season? We'll discuss that. And also, text us at 641-1010. Tell us, your outside of Trevor Lawrence, give us your favorite offseason acquisition, either free agent or drafted player. That and a whole lot more after this from Dick's Wings of the North Side on 1010 XL.
And Company on 1010 XL.
And welcome back to Compton and Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings, the North Side. Hey, tonight, a little live music, the John Tyler Band. So you get a little old country and southern rock that will be performed tonight here at Dick's Wings at Yellow Bluff and New Berlin Road. Also, visit us in Lakewood at San Jose and University. Also, look here, every Monday's poker. Tuesday night is burger and fries for $7.99. Wednesday's flip night in the bar area. Come hang out for 2 hours between 7 and 9 o'clock. Guess heads or tails, order a drink. If you're right, drink's free. That's for 2 solid hours, not just for the first drink or the last drink. It's the entire time you're here. Thursday's already a happy hour. Friday's always live music. And Saturday, here lately, it's been live music every Saturday the last few weeks that I'm aware of myself. Also, I walked in this morning, some new additions. They have a little, you know, game room area for the kids. But now they've added a couple of dart boards and a pool table. So that's now here at Dick's Wing View, along with all the TV screens all over the place. R.J. Saunders, let's go to the text. You know what? We're going to the Barber & Associates text line. at 641-1010. And what do we got, RJ Saunders?
Okay, headed to the text line at 641-1010. The 0253 says he gets one magazine, that is Athlon, that he receives. He doesn't think that Aaron Rodgers plays for Green Bay. Says Deshaun Watson will be suspended to start the season, and the Jags draft pick that he wants to see, and I feel like a lot of people want to see now and are very intrigued by, is Walker Little, and his favorite Jags free agent signing was wide receiver Marvin Jones Jr.
Wow, you know what? I agree with every – I mean, look, the magazine I've got in front of me, Athlon, and I agree with everything he said. Those are all of my votes are the same as his, except for the player, the free agent signing. I like the Malcolm Brown, and I think that was actually a trade, I believe, with the Saints. It wasn't a free agent acquisition. I want to say they traded like a fifth round pick for him. I could be wrong, but yeah, that's the guy that I'm looking forward to seeing is Malcolm Brown. A couple of things I want to throw out there. I mentioned when I led the show off was I'll be out next week. Chuck and Brent Beard will be doing the show as I'll be coaching down on Palm Coast as the 16U baseball team that I coach. We won district this week, so we will be representing District 11 down in Palm Coast and for San Mateo Little League, and also the I think the 12U girls won this morning. The major, 12U major girls down in San Mateo won this morning up in Callahan, beat Baker County. So a couple nice wins for San Mateo Little League. All right, so back to the text line, RJ Saunders. What else you got for me?
Back to the text line we go. One guy being a little bit of a smart aleck.
Well, good. That's good. I like those.
However, he says his favorite Jags move during the offseason was getting rid of the old regime. Those guys didn't have a clue.
Well, you know what? That is correct. But you know what? But see, that's why they were kept for one more year, because they didn't have a clue. See, what? Look, the people wondered why Shad Khan kept Caldwell and Marone for another season. It wasn't because he thought they were good and they deserved another shot to fix things. He knew that if he brought a different regime in, they might be good enough to win a few games, and the Jaguars would be stuck where they've been stuck the last few years, so he kept Tweedledee and Tweedledum along for one more ride so they could do what they did and go 1-15, and it turned into Trevor Lawrence. So I'm right there with him. You know, I like the, you know what, that was a great move, the old regime being kicked out of town. Good folks, I'm sure, but hey, you know what? Just because you're a good guy doesn't mean you're a good coach or a good GM. All right, RJ Saunders.
All right, one more that we have here. These two are also interesting. Besides Trevor Lawrence, I'm excited to watch Travis Etienne and Andre Sisco. He believes that Sisco is going to be a steal for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the free agent signing that he enjoyed the most was Shaq Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, look, they didn't. The Jags had a ton of money to spend in free agency, and you know, they didn't do that, right? They were modest spenders, I would say. But you know what? The way I thought was, okay, you know what? Let's not get crazy and spend a ton. Let's spend in some places, and then, you know, once we have our quarterback that we think is, you know, the long-term answer, and Trevor Lawrence, we have 1 year in with him, then we'll have a true idea as to where our deficiencies really lie, right? You'll know now, because the quarterback is what sort of, you know, applies salve to all the wounds. And once he's here and you establish what you've got with Trevor Lawrence, then you'll really have an idea of where you need to get better. Because all of a sudden, you know what? And I'll give you an analogy here. Think about an offensive line. Think about Peyton Manning's offensive line. for years. Remember Zane Beadle's got a huge contract here in Jacksonville, and he was terrible here. He was terrible. But he blocked for the Broncos for Peyton Manning. So when you've got an excellent quarterback and a guy that can get rid of the ball in a hurry, make fantastic decisions, it makes everybody around him look better. It can make him look better. So to me, all of a sudden, when you look at as far as guys I'm looking forward to see, I mean, with Trevor Lawrence there, obviously I'm looking for what does Travis Etienne do? What does it mean for James Robinson? Can't wait. They keep talking about the breakout season for LaVisca Chenault. I think he caught 58 balls last year. Does he now bump up to 80? Right. So, I mean, man, there's R.J. Saunders. There's just a lot of excitement.
Absolutely.
Right now, surrounding this franchise, unlike we haven't seen, and maybe forever. Right. I mean, it's since its inception, obviously, you know, they November 30th, 1993, was announced the Jaguars are the 30th NFL franchise, and of course, you know, week one of you know, the regular season, all the excitement, the game here. I mean, it's fantastic. Yeah, the Hall of Fame game that year is all great.
Here was a because to talk about LaVisca Chenault, and I know we've been talking, you know, singing his praises, and also the coaching staff has as well. Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com, he came out with an interesting article, and I just wanted to get your opinion on it. He was talking about the entire AFC South. He got to the Jaguars. He says this wideout group is sneaky good. He talks about Chark, saying he has number one receiver traits. Marvin Jones is steady, but he gets on LaVisca, and he says that he feels like he showed enough last year to where this year he may be the equivalent for the Jaguars to what Deebo Samuel is to his team. I was wondering if you saw any resemblance in that to where he could be that Deebo Samuel type player.
Yeah, you know, I could see some of that. You know, I could. But when I look at LaVisca, I mean, look, man, I see a guy that he's got size, he's got speed. Gosh, LaVisca's what, 6'1", 6'2", like 220?
Yeah, 6'1", 227.
Yeah, 6'1", 227. And he can also get on top of a defense, do a lot of things. I mean, he to me, yeah. So, I guess, yeah, the Deebo Samuel role a little bit. I mean, you know what? I'm not saying he's Percy Harvin when he was at Florida, but that type of a skill set, absolutely. But when you look at Chenault and Marvin Jones Jr., obviously, and they brought Philip Dorsett in. Well, he's a blazer. We'll see if he has anything in the tank. He's battled some injury issues in the past. Obviously, DJ Chark, you draft the young kid, Jalen Camp, after a good – he had an excellent combine, I believe, or a pro day, which is where he was off of draft boards, and the Jags took a flyer on him late. And Colin Johnson, the big 6'6 kid that flashed a little bit last year. Look,
which I feel like we're forgetting about him. I think this guy could have a great year too.
So, and here's what you have is you've got I truly believe there is now a staff in place that can develop guys. I mean, we you know, not only do we have players here, you've got the quarterback that's going to make everyone around them better. But you've got a coaching staff, a competent coaching staff that can absolutely develop players. You look at the leader in Urban Meyer that's well-respected. Look, he is attention to detail, all about structure. You know what? There's always a plan. It's not let's just show up and let's figure it out. No, there's a plan in place, and there's a reason for everything he does, right? So, look, man, I think everything is in place. And I'm not saying the Jaguars win the division this year, going to the playoffs or any of that stuff. Stranger things have happened, though. But, the Jaguars are trending up and on the right track, and it's an exciting thing to see. It really, truly is. And, again, for the first time in a while, you know, that's where we are here, R.J. Saunders. There's a lot of excitement you know, around this organization, unlike we've seen in many, many years. Before we break, real quick, so I've you're the basketball guy. And look, I'm a Hawks fan. I've watched a lot of Atlanta Hawks basketball. I've enjoyed watching the Suns. This postseason, Devin Booker's been outstanding. They swept the Joker, the NBA MVP. By the way, Djokovic was the very first player not drafted in the first round to win an NBA Most Valuable Player Award. Didn't do much for him in the playoffs as he was swept out. So who are you pulling for, and what are your thoughts with what's left here in the NBA playoffs? RJ Saunders.
I feel like, you know, injuries are starting to show and are starting to plague a couple of teams. I understand that, you know, we do say everybody's injured at this point, but I do feel like the quick turnaround has hurt some players as well as some teams. However, I'm not gonna lie to you, Ron. Last night, and they've been my team now since the Lakers have been out.
Don't say it. Don't even do it.
Last night, I was pulling for the Hawks. I like Atlanta.
I thought you better throw the 76ers on me. I was gonna find a way to like cut you off the air, knock you off the air.
I like the Hawks. I understand they're a young team. They may, stranger things have happened, but they may lose, you know, the game seven. But I do feel like they're on the upswing. Trae Young has taken a huge leap forward. I think the Gallinari signing was big. You are going to have to find, you know, a way to bring back John Collins, because I think there was, you know, issues about contracts and he wanted to get traded. But I definitely love the Atlanta Hawks. I'm also liking Phoenix, even though they took out my Lakers. I think, you know, Devin Booker has taken a huge step forward. And Chris Paul, I mean, shout out to him. He's done a lot for just that organization, helping them turn around. So I understand people are looking at, you know, the juggernauts like Milwaukee, Brooklyn, the Clippers, as you know, as well, and also Philadelphia. But these two young teams that we're seeing grow before our very eyes, I'm pulling for Atlanta. I love what the Hawks are doing right now.
Wow, how about that? Hey, how about quickly, speaking of young players, how about USA Basketball has got some new guys that decided, hey, we're gonna play in the Olympics this summer. You already had Lillard. You had
Bradley Beal. Jason Tatum.
We have Tatum, Beal, and Devin Booker just committed. But you also have the guy that everyone hates. So Draymond Green. So they're your five. Along now with Booker. So you know what? I was worried about how, you know, what players, if any, stars would commit to playing the Olympics because of the shortened season. I mean, literally, these guys are going to be, you know, like Devin Booker. If they get to the NBA Finals and win, like the next day, he's on his way to the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be that quick of a turnaround.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing some of that and seeing how this roster shapes, the shape of the roster in the 2021 games. But that's what it is, the 2021 games. All right, let's step aside for a break. We'll come back and turn our attention to all things college. Brent Beard is going to chime in, and we've got some more news. We're a step closer to the proposed college football playoff expansion becoming a reality. And by the way, there's no plan B. So they're not going to say, well, it was 4, we're looking at 12, let's settle on 8. It's either you stay at 4 or we go to 12, and it appears we're very close to having this thing finalized. Moving towards a 12-team college football playoff. So we'll talk about that. Also, touch on some FSU news, Gator news, Georgia news, bounce around the world of collegiate sports, that and more, as Brent Beard joins us next from Dix from the North Side on 1010XL.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton & Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings in the North Side. There's intersection New Berlin and Yellow Bluff Roads. Come on, hang out with us. A little live music tonight at 8 o'clock. A little old country and southern rock and roll going to be played tonight. So come by and hang out this evening. I want to again, I want to wish every dad out there an early happy Father's Day. Tell you something, I'm watching, there's a special here, I think, on Ernie Johnson, it appears, and they just showed a a shot of Dale Murphy. That brought me back. I've, you know, done many of the interviews and had people on. Like, we have Brent Beard on here in a few moments. He's going to check in with us and talk all things college sports. But I remember after, you know, early on in my career, been doing radio. I'd done different interviews with different people, and then, but my childhood idol was Dale Murphy. I mean, look, I wore number 3 when I played baseball. Tried to mimic everything that he did. Played center field. I know later on he moved to right field, but I played center field. I mean, I loved Dale Murphy. I cried when he was traded to the Phillies. I had to cry like a baby. And then I had him on the air. And that was, man, I didn't know what to call him. I mean, Dale, Mr. Murphy, sir, I didn't know what to call him because, I mean, I was like a kid that candy started seeing him up on the screen and during this Ernie Johnson special, and it just brought me back like 2005 or whatever it was when I had him on the air. And I remember looking at the, you know, I had all these questions planned, and I talked to him the night before he came, you know, he was on the air with me that Friday night talking about different things as far as, you know, topics. And then that morning I had it all ready. Friday night, man, I prepped, had all these questions, and then we were back in the studio at the time, and I seen the hotline, Dale Murphy on line 6 or whatever it was, and I was like, oh no, what do I say again? I didn't know what to say. And we bring Brent Beard in, who also I'm sure was a big Dale Murphy fan, as he's also a big fan of the Atlanta Braves. Brent, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing okay. It's a by the way, I just saw on Twitter where Dale Murphy was hit by 28 pitches in his career, and Ron Acuna has already been hit 26 times. But
yeah.
Murph was a special player, to say the least, for the Braves at that point. And they had a little bit of power around him, which helped during that time. At one point, you had Bob Horner, Dale Murphy, and Chris Chambliss in that lineup, and they all could hit for power. Now, that there's a lot of days that they would go like 0-for-12, but they were, but he is the favorite for a lot of people. The Braves are so up and down right now. I mean,
they got a win last night. That's the first one in a while. Brent, the Braves went like last weekend. Okay, they went back to back to back. I don't know if it was last week or 2 weekends ago. It all runs together for me now. But they beat in consecutive nights. They beat Clayton Kershaw.
That's right.
Okay, and then they go get beat Trevor Bauer. And then they beat Nola. Back to back to back. Three of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And then they go on to get walked off on after having leads on consecutive nights by the Phillies. And then go on and then they get swept in the next series. Yeah, they've been so up and down. They have not been over 500 one time this year.
Well, that's disappointing. They also struggle against the Marlins. Now, that look, as my brother told me last night, they'll have a great weekend, and then Monday they've got a doubleheader with the Mets, and we'll lose both of them.
Yeah. Oh, and oh, by the way, Brent, how about this? You mentioned that lineup. Let me give you that lineup. Okay. So you had in that 82 season. Okay. The that's the year I became an Atlanta Braves fan. Cable came to Jacksonville, I think, in the fall of 81 that I remember. Then I used to always sneak up late. You know, parents go to sleep. I'd wake up. I'd sneak up, and I'd start watching stuff late at night, you know. And the Braves, I call it the Braves-Padres, out on the West Coast. Rick Mailer pitched a 1-0 shutout. And the starting lineup for the 82 Braves, Brett Butler, okay, Glenn Hubbard, Claudio Washington, Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, Chris Chambliss, Rafael Ramirez, Bruce Benedict, and then whomever their pitcher was. Oh, I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday, Brent.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were and they were all stars in their own right and on TBS, and that's how we kind of grew up with them.
Well, it was the Cubs by day on WGN and the Braves by night on TBS.
That's right. The I'm sure Phil Niekro was on that staff.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he was on the staff
at that
yep.
point too. So
he was on the staff, and Rick Mahler was the opening day starter. I remember like it was yesterday. But yeah, oh yeah, Nux, he was on that staff. Oh yeah.
So that was Greg. Remember Greg Garber, that
Gene Garber
reliever.
Gene Garber.
Thank you.
Yep. Gene Garber. Oh yeah, Brent. I can look anything 82 forward Atlanta Braves. I got it.
Yeah. But that was a fun team. So
it was a fun
team. To get to today, congrats to Caleb Dressel for the Olympic trials. He's really qualified for the Olympics. From Green Cove Springs at Clay High School. Excited to see what he's going to be doing. World Series starts in a bit. That's going to be a lot of fun. Vanderbilt this afternoon. Vandy's tonight. And then Tennessee plays tomorrow at 2:00. And then Mississippi State plays tomorrow night. So that will be a lot of fun. More information on the expansion of the college football.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Brent. Another step's been taken toward approval, right?
That's correct.
And we have another meeting coming up this week in Dallas. Is that correct?
On Tuesday.
Yep. So tell folks about what the meeting that just took place, what's happening next.
They basically will give what they've got next to the president. So that there's a president's committee. That has about 11 of them on there, and hopefully they will. I think what they're going to do is just basically ask for permission to continue and to get feedback, and I think they will, and to see what they need to tweak. So, but I think there's two things here that people want to know about. One is what's going to happen with your top four seeds get a bye, but the top four seeds do not get a home game in the next round if they win. Well, they would win, obviously, with a bye. But the question is going to be, and it's a legitimate question, is should your top four teams get a home game? My answer to that would be yes. Now, again, I don't know what they do with the bowl system there, which would be interesting.
Brent, I don't think they can do that. I mean, I guess they can. I don't think they will. It's all about it. They're going to incorporate these bowl games, right, once we get down to 8.
Right.
So once we get down to 8, that we're going to incorporate the bowl games, and with all the additional money that's going to be involved, these cities are going to in bidding wars to get some of that action, right? So there's no way. It's because, again, all this is about money, right, Brent? The only reason this has come to life is because all the revenue that's been lost over the last year plus, we've got to recoup all of that, and then obviously then far, far more than that via TV deals. Bowl cities are going to pony up a bunch of cash for these bowl games. So There's no way in the world they're going to allow the top four teams that have buys also get a home game. Sorry, it's not going to happen. So you know, so here's the question: if you're a team or a fan, would you rather not have a buy but have a home playoff game,
right?
Or get a buy and not have to worry about that playing that game, right? That's really what it's going to amount to. I don't think there's no way in the world they're going to have. Home venues once we get down to 8.
Well, I don't know if they will, but I hope at one point the Gator Bowl would get in that rotation. And we're not talking about semifinals and championships. I get that, but if you could get an end of the rotation to where you would get the next round, now that would be exciting to be a part of that. The other question that's going to be here is, when do they start this? Now, they're either going to start it in 2023 or they're going to start it in 26 or 27.
Oh, Brent, it'll be 2023. I know what the contract said, but Brent, come on. They're not going to wait. I mean, this thing is so hot and heavy, it's going to go, Brent.
When you've got that now, and I'll give you the money, with ESPN, they got $470 million per year. Now you can't sneeze at that, but what they figured out is with extending it at 12, they're getting it $1.9 billion. Now look, Ron, to your point here, there's no way in the world that they're going to allow that $1.9 billion to sit on the table like, okay, we're going to eat Thanksgiving dinner in an hour, but Dad's going to tell a story first. That's just not going to happen, frankly. In my notes this week, there's a note about Florida losing money, South Carolina losing money. I know the SEC helped them with the $23 million, but the bottom line is they still lost money. And look, as we know, Ron, timing is everything. And right now, schools need money. This is a really good way to get money. And I think we're going to have...
And a lot of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, Brent.
We've got this for two reasons. One, and the smaller reason is, it's accessibility and including the other conferences and the non-Power Five. But two, and the bigger number is frankly, yes, the money. So, I mean, for crying out loud, Ron, if they can come up with a 10-game schedule last year, basically on the fly, I think given 2 years, because we won't have it this year, we won't have it in 22 either, but in 2023, they've got time to get this thing up and going by then, and there's no reason not to.
No, I agree. And Brent, we're going to break here, and we'll do one more segment with you if you can hang around with us. Yeah, look, now they'll strike the iron while it's hot, and rightfully so. And I'm sure, like you said, look, us dads like to tell stories, right? But let me tell you something. Thanksgiving dinner's there, we're going to eat.
Yeah.
All right? The money's there. We're going to take advantage and hit it right now. We're not going to wait to start making additional millions years down the line. We're going to do it right now. But look, and you mentioned also as far as, the Gator Bowl, you know, Tax Clear Bowl, whatever the sponsorship will be. Look, now once the home venues are over, now we're down to eight. That means there's seven games, right? Seven games. You have seven games at neutral site / bowl venues. Once they start doing all this new construction, Brent, and they'll be well into that once in 2023, okay? They'll bid. They'll say, wait a minute. We've got all this stuff, new stuff downtown. I'm sure Lot J will be revisited. All these things are going to start happening down there. And talking about a facelift for the stadium as well. Brent, I'd be mildly surprised if this city, within the third or fourth year of this new formatted playoff, if there's not a game here once we get down to the eight. So when we come back, Brent, we will get some poll question updates, and which are these? College Football Magazine. Brent's my first one. College Football Mags. Do you still get them? Okay, number one. I know where you stand. You probably get every one of them. Okay, so option one is, yep, I still get them all. Option two is, I get one or two, and I'm in option two, Brent. I've got the only one I have this year's Athlon. Number three, man, preseason magazine, thing of the past. Four, what in the hell is a preseason magazine? So those are your four options. The other two poll questions are these, both pertaining to NFL quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, will he be on the Green Bay Packers roster week one? Yes or no. And then Deshaun Watson, will he be on anybody's roster in terms of being eligible to play week one? We'll give you some poll question updates. And also, when we come back, continue our discussion with Brent Beard. And we bring the College Weekly Notebook after this. Coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side on 1010 XL.
This is Compton and Company on 1010XL.
Well, we're back. I was out socializing with folks in the restaurant. Sorry, my bad. We're back. We are at Dick's Wings of the North Side. Glad to have you along with us. Brent Beard. We bring the College Weekly Notebooks on the phone lines. RJ Saunders producing. Yours truly, Ron Compton. You can call us, text us at 641-1010 after this segment. We're going to give you a poll question updates here momentarily. But, you know, Brent, before we – I've got to say, walked outside a moment ago, and a nice Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am is out in the parking lot. Come to find us, one of the patrons here. And me and a guy here was talking about, man, we're going to flip a coin. Yeah, flip might on Wednesdays as far as you can drink free here in the bar area on Wednesday night. Me and a buddy of mine, Mike, he and his lovely wife Charlene's here today. We're going to flip. He's a former police officer. We're going to flip a coin on who's going to steal that car. Who's going to steal that car? And I know two other people, Brent, that had Smokey and the Bandit Trans Ams back in the late 70s. That was Buck Blue and Herschel Walker. I mean, I don't know where they got them from. I don't know. I'm not going to say they came from Georgia Boosters, but they had them. They had them, Brent. Buck Blue and Herschel Walker had Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am as well.
It's funny you said that because my brother Brent, who is – and who does sports radio in Huntsville every day, actually was at a gathering last night where Herschel Walker was the keynote speaker, and he said that Herschel was tremendous. So Herschel, considering running for office in the next few years, he would garner several votes, say the least. But listen, people here will not understand this. There was nothing more popular years ago when I'm telling you, when that first Smokey and the Bandit came out, I remember being in Jasper, Alabama, watching that thing our one and only theater there, and walking out, and I can't tell you how much rubber was lost on those tires with guys that just had to scratch off leaving the parking lot right after that movie. One of the true iconic cars and movies there will ever be.
Hey, how about this, Brent? So Lily, our server, who's wonderful here every Saturday, she walked over to the owner of that car, and he said that me and my buddy here, Mike, we're just going to flip a coin and steal that car. He goes, well, thanks for the heads up, but it's insured. Well, good. Win-win. One of us is going to get the car, and he gets the money out of the deal. So we're good. But, man, it's a good-looking ride, Brent. Gosh.
Yeah,
it's been restored so well. It looks so good. It looks like it's brand new, Brent. It looks like it just rolled off the showroom floor. Okay, so back to all things college sports. Brent, we're getting close, man. I mean, look, the NFL is before college, obviously, when it comes to breaking camp and stuff like that. NFL training camps are doing something this year they've never done before, Brent, in the history of the National Football League. RJ, do you know what that is? They're doing something this year that's never been done in the history of the National Football League. I guess RJ is missing somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll tell people. I'll tell people. For the first time ever, typically – when training camps break, look, the Cowboys and the Steelers, they'll break camp the 21st, or they'll open camp the 21st because they're playing this year's Hall of Fame game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, since they're on that Thursday night game, they get a few days head start. They'll open up the 24th. Everybody else, including the Jacksonville Jaguars, the other 29 teams will start on July 27th, Brent. But it's the first time in the history of the National Football League it's a unified start, meaning typically rookies come in, they report early, then the veterans a few days later. This year, everybody starts on the same day, all the players. First time ever. I didn't know that, but first time in NFL history, they all start the same day.
And by the way, a month from today is the start of SEC Media Days.
But there you go. That's where I was going with that, Brent, is, man, it's here, man. I mean, really, here we are. just broke the middle part of June barrier. And, bro, football season's here, man. I mean, it's absolutely here. I can't wait. Absolutely cannot wait.
We've got week zero games. And by the way, let me say this.
Week zero games. I forgot about week zero. Yeah.
Week zero games at the end of the last weekend.
What is week zero, Brett? How can they identify week zero? I've never heard of a week zero until a couple of years ago.
It's just a catchy, or maybe not catchy, but it's a marketing plan. They've got to give some emphasis on those games. I know Nebraska plays that weekend. They also just moved another game to that weekend with Illinois. They are playing on that weekend too, but Wyoming and Illinois has been moved up 3 weeks to week zero. Boy, that's moving a lot when you do that. Saturday, August 27th, when the playoffs start, I think the beginning of the regular season will end up being week zero for everybody. But basically, in other words, they're going to back the season up a week. You still have a lot of emphasis on on Labor Day weekend, but I think that's what's going to happen. And this, this Labor Day week of games, not just weekend. I mean, it starts. People may not realize this, but it starts on Wednesday night with the game with UAB. So, look, we'll be ready for ball, but then it really won't matter. And then on Thursday, you've got Josh Heupel in Tennessee begin. Then you've got Virginia Tech. I think it's Virginia Tech, North Carolina on that Friday. But then sorted games, obviously, on Saturday. FSU Notre Dame on Sunday in the game. FSU really, how much that would help them for a win. And frankly, really kind of interesting game with Ole Miss and Louisville on Labor Day night. What a week that's going to be.
Oh, without a doubt. Let me ask this, Brent. Going to schools here on a local level, let's start in Tallahassee for a moment. I was going through Athlon, and they're the new grade of the 2020 new coaches, and Lane Kiffin, look, was outstanding. I thought at Ole Miss, but they ranked Jeff Traylor at the University of Texas, San Antonio, Greg Schiano at Rutgers, and returned to Rutgers, I guess I should say, Elijah Drinkwitz in Missouri, Carl Durrell at Colorado, Sam Pittman at Arkansas, and I go all the way down. And I thought that Mike Norvell was a good hire, maybe the best that Florida State could get of guys that were looking for work. But boy, when I read this capsule on Mike Norvell, they gave him a C. Norvell inherited a rebuilding project and a roster with major question marks. The Seminoles ranked near the bottom of the ACC on the stat sheet on both sides of the ball, and suffered five of their six losses in 2020 by 16 points or more. Think about that. Think about Florida State University. Five of their six losses by 16 points or more. They went 3-6, and the only reason they didn't go 3-8 is because they decided not to play Clemson in Florida, or they'd have lost eight games by 16 points or more. Your thoughts on his ability to right the ship in Tallahassee? This is the first time, Brent, in the history of Florida State football that there has been no five stars on that roster. And then I look at Florida State released, Brent, the measurables of the incoming freshman. When the hell is the last time Florida State accepted a commitment to sign a guy defensive end that's 6'4", 189? I mean, think about that for a second. A defensive end committed to play for, and they signed him 6'4", 189? I didn't say wide receiver. I didn't say wide receiver. I said defensive end. What's going on in Tallahassee, Brent? Tell me,
please. He's going to be some kind of hybrid linebacker to be that small. Or either hopefully that's a misprint one.
Oh, now, no. Oh, no. When you read the capsule, oh, no. He's a defensive end, and they said, you know, he's listed 6'4", 189, and he's got to put some weight on. Oh, no, they went through it. Oh, no, it's not a misprint. There was a capsule.
They've got the best guy they've got is Jermaine Johnson, who came over in a transfer, and I think he's going to be very good. They can block him during the spring. I think overall that they will be better. They're fine at quarterback, Josh Corbin, the Texas A&M transfer. I think will be fine at running back. Toa Fila is a really good running back that they've got. The problem they've got again is with their offensive line. Well, we've said this for multiple years. This program really started going down the last 2 years of Jimbo, and then Taggart, who had no clue what he was doing, really hurt the program even more. I like Norvell. Talked to a lot of people who know him and in Memphis, and I think eventually he will do much better with them. Even this year they're 6-6. I mean, they could win 8 games this year if they could see what they've got to win. And this dovetails what you're saying about the program. See, their problem right now is they've got to win at Wake. They've got to beat Louisville, Syracuse. They've got to win at Boston College. See, they've got to win these 50-50 games.
What's crazy though, Brent, is they used to always be those games you mentioned were all layups.
Sure,
they were all layups. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, wow. I mean, look, Jimbo Fish was the coach in waiting, and I'll never forget when they got sideways and I was one that said, look, you know what, I think Jimbo just okay. You know, he's okay as a play caller. You know, he was great when he had great quarterback play, but there's a reason he had great quarterback play, because he was a quarterback's coach, right? So he's gotten a lot of the quarterbacks, just like Dan Mullen's gotten a lot of the quarterbacks at every coach stop where he's been. But, man, well, I remember when he left, FSU fan, man, good riddance, we're glad he's gone. Man, bring on Willie Taggart. And it's amazing how quickly it flipped, Brent. I mean, this thing didn't just – I mean, this thing wasn't even gradual. They went from being very, very competitive, just being just awful.
Well, what they're trying to do now is that they're trying to get back to average, frankly, and average is 6-6 through 8-4. I mean, I think they signed a contract for 8-4 right now.
Oh my God! All day long.
But the only way they can get this done, obviously, is through the transfer portal and recruiting and playing better. So but again, they're bringing in some players. I still think Mackenzie Milton's a good quarterback coming from UCF.
If he's healthy, Brent, I think he can be a very good addition to that roster. But when's the last? But again, there you go again. When was the last? When would you think that? Hey, FSU's counting on a transfer quarterback from UCF to be their savior.
Well,
I mean, you know what I mean? They should look, the FSU that I grew up to watch didn't have that, they weren't there, Brent. It's just crazy how quick looking transfer portal. They got like 12 guys. Now, I know they're off to a decent recruiting class in 2022. We'll see how that shakes out. But look, I tell you what, Brent, let's break. And we'll come back and we'll finish our thoughts on FSU. Also, going to Gainesville, Athens as well. If you can hang out, Brent, for one more segment. You good for one more segment, Brent?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll come back and we'll discuss all that stuff. And that's as we broadcast you right here at Dick's Wings on the north side on 1010XL.
Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton & Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings here on the north side. You have the intersection of Yellow Bluff and New Berlin Roads. Also visits Lakewood at San Jose and University. This might be the shortest segment in radio history. As we're going to get out of here. That's the penalty that you get for going long on everything else, right? It is. That's okay. Look, Everyone listening, look, man, it's Father's Day weekend. I want to wish every dad out there a happy Father's Day, and I hope that you guys have had as blessed ones as I've had. I've been very, very blessed to have wonderful children that have done a lot for me forever. So anyway, for RJ Saunders, for Brent Beard, for the fine folks here at Dick's Wings, until next Saturday, I'm Ron Compton. See ya.